You are listening to CKMS News on 102.7 FM, Radio Waterloo. Today is Monday, April 8th, 2024, and I am MP Holmes. A group of volunteers are setting out this Saturday, April 13th, to restore habitats for pollinators and beautify Waterloo Region roadsides along the way. The Pollinator Roadside Program is a community-driven pilot project led by Waterloo Region Nature to create pollinator corridors alongside city roads. Jennifer Leet, who is the lead of the Pollinator Roadside Project, talked to CKMS News about what the project is and how it came to be.
We noticed that there are large areas of the roadside which are currently just mown several times a year, especially along the expressways and rural roads. There seems to be large expanses there. But this turf grass, which is just mowed, provides no habitat for butterflies or other pollinators. In my personal opinion, I also think it's not very attractive. So these roadsides could become important and significant areas for creating habitat for pollinators and other wildlife, and could constitute in potentially important pollinator corridors through the cities and across the province of Ontario. And this, they could be planted to allow diversification and increased habitat for wildlife. So our goal is to promote the planting of roadsides with pollinator-friendly native plants to beautify the roadsides and restore habitat for pollinators and wildlife in the region of Waterloo. We would like to see this become the usual or the default way of planting roadsides in the future. But this year, we're starting with a small pilot demonstration planting in April in Kitchener.
The small pilot demonstration planting that Jennifer refers to will be at the east side of Fisher-Holman Road, south of Glasgow Street. Jennifer explains the criteria with which the group chose this site as the optimal location for this initial planting.
So we looked at a large number of different potential sites within the city area of Kitchener-Waterloo, and we developed certain criteria. So we were looking for areas that would be visible to the public, so where there'd be high foot traffic, or that would be near traffic lights or on a bus route, for example. Also that there would be no construction in the next few years, so that everything would get dug up. Also, we looked at the presence of infrastructure. We didn't want an area where there would be utilities underground that might need repair, and therefore, again, the pollinator plantings would get disturbed. We wanted an area that's a good size and where people would walk over it, and ideally a sunny location. So we looked at all these criteria, and the site along Fisher-Holman came up as being the optimal one.
Jennifer explains why it is important for the garden to be visible to the public.
Well, because part of this is we're hoping that this pilot project that we're going to do will get people on board, that people will start to realize the potential and start to see that these pollinator plants actually look attractive. And we're going to be having some signage there that would give that sort of information to the public as well. So that's part of the purpose of doing the pilot or demonstration project.
The project aims to compare three different planting methods to determine the most effective way to establish pollinator-friendly habitat.
Well, because it's a pilot project, we are comparing three different methods. The one method is where we're going to be covering that area with paper and then with sand and compost. So this is a tried and true method, which many people have used in their own gardens. So this might be counted as the ideal method, although it's not really scalable up the larger areas. The second method, we're going to be preparing with vinegar, which will reduce the current turf grass, helps to kill it off. And this is closer to what is commonly used to prepare sites for habitat restoration. So what would perhaps be more likely to be used if this type of planting is scaled up? And then the third method, we're going to just plant within the current vegetation after doing some weed whacking. And that's the simplest method. And in all of these areas, we're going to be planting seeds and plugs and plants eventually. We expect that the method covering with paper, sand, and compost, and also the method preparing with vinegar will allow the plants to develop faster. But we do think that eventually, given time, the method planting directly into the existing vegetation will work, because these native plants will eventually outcompete the turf grass because they have much deeper roots and they grow taller too.
Funded in part by a grant from the Region of Waterloo's Community Environment Fund, the Pollinator Roadside Project also receives generous support from volunteers and sponsors.
Seven of us actually in the working group, we've been meeting regularly and planning it and so forth. But there's going to be very many more volunteers on the day when we're doing the working parties. Volunteers have donated a lot of things, for example, seeds and materials and seedlings. People are doing what we call winter sowing of seeds so that we'll have seedlings to plant a little bit later. And we have also received some generous sponsorship from a company called Dirt Cheap and Grand River Stone. They're going to be delivering compost and sand, and also from Northland Nursery for plants.
By naturalizing roadsides with native plants, the project aims not only to promote biodiversity and create sustainable habitats, also to save costs.
So we're hoping that it would become typical that these areas would be naturalized with pollinator native plants instead of turf grass. That would save funds in the long run. So it may take a little bit longer to establish with these native plants, but eventually they require much less mowing. So mowing only over every 2 to 3 years instead of 2 or 3 times or maybe even 4 times per year. So that's a substantial saving in workers' time and also in gas. Also, something that I haven't mentioned is that these types of plantings also are better at retaining water. So it would prevent water runoff and help to control water in that way.
The project hopes to contribute to pollinator conservation and to address the decline in their populations due to habitat loss and pesticide use.
Pollinators and insects generally are declining worldwide. So this is another reason why it's important to plant these areas and restore this habitat. The well illustration of this that usually hits home is that if you think about driving out in the country a decade or two ago, you would come home and your windshield would be coated with dead insects. And if you think about it, this just doesn't happen nowadays. It's very few. And so there's been a really documented, and this is just an illustration, decline in the number of pollinators in insects generally. And one major factor for this decline is the loss of habitat due to human activity and also the use of pesticides, which indiscriminately tend to kill any insect that happens to be around. And the loss of pollinators is concerning for several reasons. So firstly, many of the crops that we eat, fruits, vegetables, and nuts, require pollination for the plants. So they estimate that about a third of our diet is plants that require pollination by pollinators. So it's pretty significant for that reason as well. So that's why habitat restoration is very important. And restoring these areas along the roadsides is one way that we can give back some habitat.
By providing native plants along roadsides, the project aims to attract various pollinators.
We're hoping to attract all kinds of pollinators. Butterflies and bees are the ones that most people think of, but other important bulk pollinators are moths, beetles, and flies. They also play an important role in pollinating plants. But bees, both native ones and honeybees, are important. So we're really hoping to attract any or all of these.
By planting native plants, the project organizers hope this support will increase pollinator populations.
We're going to be planting pretty much native plants or near native plants. And the reason for that is that these plants are more nutritious than other imported or introduced plants. So although many butterflies and bees, you'll see them on your introduced plants in your garden, it's thought that these introduced plants are not giving the pollinators as good nutrition as the native plants. So we're going to be aiming for native plants. Also, native plants are good at spreading, so they will naturalize well once they're introduced. So milkweed is a really good example. There are certain insects, like certain bees and certain butterflies, that rely on very specific plants, which are pretty much always native plants. So the monarch butterfly requires milkweed. So it's not so much for the butterflies themselves, because the monarch butterflies can use the nectar from a variety of different plants. It's the caterpillars of the monarchs that require milkweed. They cannot eat anything else. So they're very specific in that way. They've developed together to be dependent on each other in that way.
Pollinators impact wildlife by being part of the food chain. Jennifer talks about how the decrease in certain bird species is linked to the availability of food.
Pollinators impact wildlife in several different ways. So many birds, first of all, rely on insects and the caterpillars of insects as food, particularly when they're raising their young. And we know that there is a decrease in the numbers of songbird species. So that's one important thing. They're also part of the food chain for other animals, such as snakes and frogs, toads, lizards, and mice. So these smaller animals then become eaten by larger animals. So they're key in the food chain for that.
Jennifer describes how roadside plantings help create pollinator corridors.
So pollinators, they need linking areas. It's not so useful having one habitat here separated from another habitat. What these insects need, and particularly butterflies, the monarch butterfly is probably the best known example here. They need strips, shall we say, of pollinator habitat to move through when they're migrating.
To address concerns about the impact of roadside plantings on pollinators, the program will create a buffer zone and follow recommendations from wildlife organizations to provide a safe and effective habitat for pollinators.
Certainly, there have been some studies that have measured an increase in dead insects among areas where the habitat has been restored. But you have to remember that those studies were looking at the total number of dead insects. They didn't measure the proportion of dead insects as a percentage of the insects there. Most of those studies haven't looked at the total number of insects that are there. In other words, if you attract more insects, you will tend to get more dead insects, but also more living ones. So based on the current information, the general opinion at present is that there is a net gain from planting roadsides. You're creating habitat for more insects, so you get more insects. Of course, you're going to see a few more dead insects. However, the advice of the Canadian Wildlife Federation, who we've been in touch with, is to avoid habitat restoration directly beside the road or in areas where traffic speed is high. So for this pilot planting, there's a sidewalk between the road and where we're planting, and also we're not going to be planting the first meter beside the sidewalk. That's going to remain to be mowed in the usual way.
With the support of volunteers, sponsors, and local authorities, the Pollinator Roadside Project hopes to set a precedent for roadside plantings to prioritize biodiversity and sustainability.
We would certainly like this to become the usual or default method of sowing roadsides, particularly, as I said, along the expressways. So if you think about it, there's very wide verges along some of the expressways. For example, the one between Kitchener and Stratford has an enormously wide central strip there and on each side. And the other areas that have a lot of potential, I think, are where we have the on-ramps and off-ramps and those sort of circular or triangular areas are created that way. So these have a lot of potential, probably more potential there than within the city. We're certainly hoping that people will see what we're doing in the region of Waterloo and that it will spread and become more common in other regions of Ontario and maybe even across the whole of Canada.
The group is looking for volunteers from April to June to help with the planting, the first of which is Saturday, April 13th, 9:30 a.m. to 4 p.m. You can join the Pollinator Roadsides Waterloo Region Facebook group or go to waterlooregionnature.ca/conservation for more information. For CKMS News and the Local Journalism Initiative, I am MP Holmes. Thanks for listening.